So now where is my music book? Anybody seen the music of the liturgy book? The black one? Thin black one? Thank you, David.
Peter, your hands are all over.
Here, I'll take care of it.
No, I
need
to go wash your hands off, sweetie.
Peter, I don't have any goo.
No,
I'm
in. I think
I'll have to just wipe
Peter. Peter,
okay,
get away from the tree now.
Both of you come away from it now.
Peter, Stefan, now.
Stefan,
now.
Stefan.
I was putting it on the...
Oh, he's picking up
the hooks.
The hooks. Thank you, Stefan.
We don't really need to do that right now.
It's time to start. We can finish that tomorrow.
Yeah. Peter, sit down.
Thank you.
Let's open with hymn number 55. Responsibly Psalm 91, found on page 143. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High
shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress.
My God, in Him will I trust.
Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler
and from the noisome pestilence.
He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust.
His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night,
nor for the arrow that flieth by day,
nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness,
nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday.
1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand.
But it shall not come nigh thee.
Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold.
And see the reward of the wicked.
Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge,
even the Most High thy habitation.
There shall no evil befall thee.
Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling.
For he shall give his angels charge over thee,
to keep thee in all thy ways.
They shall bear thee up in their hands,
lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder.
The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet.
Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him.
I will set him on high, because he hath known my name.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him.
I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him.
With long life will I satisfy him,
and show him my salvation.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our lesson this evening is found in the first chapter of Luke, the 27th through the 56th verse. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and returned to her house. Here ends our lesson.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
We sing hymn 274. In God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the first chapter of Luke, the 26th through the 38th verse. Now in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Cast our hearts upon the blessing of thy Son, Jesus Christ, who came to us of the Virgin Mary, that we might know that he is indeed our promised Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, the words of the angel who appeared to Mary ring in our ears, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." It stands out not as a mere hope, but as an unbreakable truth. Without exception, no one can challenge it. No one can overcome it. What God determines to do, he always will do, no matter how gloomy the outlook or impossible the fulfillment may seem. He does the impossible, and he does so for us, who do not deserve such almighty works, because we have done nothing but offend him. We are lowly and unworthy of his regard. Therefore, he does the impossible, and he makes us worthy by his own power. Mary, by today's standards, was but a girl, a maiden of no special birth. Her family was no more notable than many other families in Judea. She could trace her lineage to King David, but so could many others. For in the days before Christ came, the Jews kept meticulous records of their family histories. There were many children of David in those days. Mary simply did not stand out among them. And if God had not chosen to shine his light upon her, she would have gone unnoticed and nobody would remember her today. In her day, the line of King David still survived, but little good it did. No man from David's line had sat upon the throne for a long time. Many in Israel believed that if this were ever going to change, then it would do no good to wait around for God to keep his promises. They would have to keep them for him. But words and actions are often far removed from one another. When one has to face a legion of Roman soldiers, suddenly any resolve to establish the throne of David by force would quickly evaporate. Many attempts had been tried. All such revolts against Rome were put down, often quite violently. But God had long ago given a promise to David. When your days are fulfilled, and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. How would God keep this promise? There was no such a man on the throne. A son of Esau, not of Jacob, now occupied the throne. And therefore history had repeated itself. Esau had arisen and usurped the birthright belonging to Jacob. Yet even this man Herod the Great was a figurehead and no sovereign, for he ruled as a governor who answered to Rome. So doubly then it seemed that the promise of God had failed. But the angel said, "With God nothing shall be impossible." And it seems that the way God had chosen to keep his promise had little in common with the expectations of men. God had something much more grand in store for the son of David. His lineage would need to be great indeed for the task that God had prepared for him. He would indeed save his people. The difference was that the enemy he would overcome would be far more powerful than Herod or Caesar himself with all of his legions of soldiers. His enemy would be our own sin. An enemy of such breathtaking power that it had successfully ruled the human race for 4,000 years without meeting a single successful challenge to its power. So ferocious was this enemy that it killed everyone over whom it reigned. Every last man, woman, and child must die so long as sin ruled. And so truly, the Israelites had set their sights far too low. Their enemy was not Herod, or Pilate, or the whole Roman Empire. It was sin and death. If they ever succeeded in taking the throne from Rome,
it would not matter, for the greater master, sin, would not be overcome so easily. The man whom God had chosen for this task, therefore, could not be just any man. And he could not have just any parents. Like any son, he would inherit the power and authority of his father. And therefore, he must have a mighty father indeed, if he was to succeed. And his mother must be such that no one could possibly question the parentage of this child who would be born to rule in the house of his father David. In short, the child must have parents who would be in keeping with the seemingly impossible task set before him. His father could be none but God himself. For there is no man or angel, no matter how powerful, who has the power to overcome sin and death. But God only has one natural son, he who was begotten before the world began, from eternity. And therefore, if a child would be born of David's line, with God as his father, it could only be the Son of God who was already with the Father from eternity. Before the Son of David was conceived, he must already be the Lord, who has the power and authority to cast down all the works of Satan and overcome all evil. This Son is unique in all the world, for he must come from eternity and yet still be born, as any child is. If God himself would be the father of this child, what then is the mother like? Who was Mary that she should be counted worthy by God to become the mother of the man who would sit upon the throne of David forever? If we judge by the words of Mary herself, she was a lowly girl of simple birth, not worthy of any special regard, much less of becoming the mother of God's Christ. In her hymn of praise, which we call the Magnificat, she declares, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." By her own account, she was not worthy of the position which God had bestowed upon her. She could but regard God as her Savior, for she too had the lowly state of a sinner. That God had so chosen to bless her was not for her great righteousness, but because of his great mercy. And therefore she could not boast, but only humbly respond to Gabriel, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." In other words, I can but be his servant if the Lord so chooses to perform this gracious work in me. Therefore, let it be as he has said. In choosing a lowly maiden rather than a queen among queens, our Father in heaven has made plain to us the nature of his Son. He would be a Savior of the lowly, and not only of the mighty. In our low estate, he would not despise us. In our sin, he would not withhold his blessing from us. This would be the manner of this Savior, not only in birth, but also in his life. It seems almost impossible that someone of such a humble birth would become so great. Yet with God, nothing will be impossible. With such a humble birth, it was necessary that God give us a sign by which all who believe his word might know for certain that this child which should be born is no mere son of any man, but the Son of God. Already it was plain to Mary that something quite unique must take place if she was to bring forth such a great son as the angel announced, who would reign not just for 40 years, but forever. She asks a humble question: how can this be, since I do not know a man? Her question was not one of doubt, like Zacharias, who could not believe that God would give his wife Elizabeth a child in her old age. Mary rather only asked so that she could best follow the will of the Lord, whatever it may be, and do what it was that he desired of her. The answer is quite astounding, in keeping with the nature of this astounding child that should come. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, who shall be God with us. Surely Mary remembered then the words of the prophet Isaiah. This is the sign which God had promised, so that all may know his Son Christ. Since a virgin would conceive, no one could rightly doubt that God had fulfilled his promise. Oh yes, men would indeed doubt. But faithless men never believe God's word. But to those who believe him, this would be a sign indeed that God had fulfilled his word and sent his Savior. It is no wonder that men deny the virgin birth, for it is the greatest miracle that God has ever done. It was not merely that he created life in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but that God himself would enter the human flesh of this child and humble himself that he might be born, as any child must be born, of a woman. In this way, God would in every way become as men, so that as a man he might bear man's sin. Our reasoning minds insist that the almighty power, nature, and presence of God cannot fit inside the body of a man, much less of a small, helpless child. Very clever men have insisted the finite cannot comprehend the infinite. Of all the miracles which God has performed, none boggles the mind more than this. Of them all, we marvel at the truth which the angel declared: with God, nothing will be impossible. It may indeed be true in every other case that the infinite cannot fit inside the finite body of a man, but in Christ Jesus it can, and it has. The Son of the Highest does not come in possible ways, because he does not come to do possible things. His work is to do the impossible, to please God in every way, and that is something that no other man could possibly do. For it is God's good pleasure that we do not die in our sins. It is his will that we be his own children, his adopted sons and daughters, so that he might give us an inheritance which we could not possibly deserve. And since the Son of God has pleased him in every way, he has also given the Father his heart's desire, us. He has done this in the only way it could be done, the way that was impossible for men, but not for God. He has come to us as we are, in our lowly state. He has come to us while we were still in our sins. And he counted our sins as his own, with everything that goes along with our sins, eternal death. And though it was impossible, he bore the wages of all our sins. And he gave his life into the lowly tomb. And since he specialized in doing the impossible, he rose again so that he could give us to the Father, a redeemed and a holy people. We who by all rights should have been cast out are now at home in our Father's house. Glory be to our God, with whom nothing is impossible. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing hymn number 351.
Let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense.
We sing the Magnificat. God, who hast given thine eternal word to be made incarnate of the pure virgin, grant unto thy people grace to put away fleshly lusts, so that they may be ready for thy visitation, through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And my spirit.
Let us pray. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, forever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.